Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Dance if you want to dance, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester United are out, and there's a big one tonight at St James's Park. It's Wednesday, 13th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Dushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us on this wonderful Wednesday. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, Sean Cleaver, for sending us today's intro line. You can become a friend of the Ramble, too, by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble, where all our best friends are, Jim.
Indeed.
Vish. Good to see you.
It's good to see you.
It's good to be here.
How you holding up, little guy?
Mate.
And all such other things.
Watched Manchester United, then covered England losing to the West Indies at 3 a.m. Oh. So,
well, no.
The hits keep coming.
Well, don't worry. You're only going to get cuddles and hugs today from us.
I don't know that I want that. I think I'm a little bit annoyed. You know, sometimes when people try to hug you when you're annoyed, it makes it worse.
Yeah, that is that makes it sound like you're regularly sort of being restrained by police officers, though. I'm not sure I do know what you mean by that.
I'm calling them hugs.
Yeah. If you're a police officer, do you get to hug people all the time? Because I'm up for that. Come here. Come here. Put the weapon down.
The hugger hoodie scheme. Do you not remember?
I do remember that.
That's what that was all about.
David Cameron.
Come here. Who's upset you?
Lord Cameron now. Have a bit of respect. Manchester United 0, Bayern Munich 1 is where we're going to begin. Manchester United.
God, it sounds so much worse as 0 rather than nil, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
At least it was only 1.
What, 1-0?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been worse. I was thinking maybe we'd get to queue up the can-can on the old deck. But it was not bad enough for that to be relevant.
We received a couple of tweets on X asking where you were, Vish, after Monday's show.
So funny when people do that, isn't it?
Yeah, they were like, oh, he's avoided.
Has anyone checked on there?
what are you like?
Wait.
You're talking about the listeners there.
Just a few of them.
Right. They're all
five minutes in.
Unbelievable.
I'll hug them if they need it.
All those people who listen to the show and ask after us, what the fuck are they playing at?
You don't want to hug anybody. You're slagging off the list.
No, because I'm talking about when your team goes through a particularly annoying defeat, as all of ours do. Mm-hmm. And you get people going, oh, has anyone checked on such and such?
I suppose I'm not revealing too much here. Jim and I have bonded about this before, because I remember, I think it was, because United, I joined in 2020 during COVID, and United were actually all right under Solskjaer. And then obviously it went off the next bit of the cliff. Mm-hmm. And I remember after one show, Jim sent me a very nice message a few hours later, being like, I hope that was all right. That was me 2 years ago.
Yeah. You sort of have to defend your team's honour in a way where you don't really understand how this has happened to you.
Yeah. Mm. Even if, you know, as you know, in the way that I think, I find them all quite dishonourable.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Arsenal just sort of cantering through a dead rubber from their perspective, of course, soon enough.
This will come back to haunt me.
In the Champions League group.
It's cyclical, isn't it?
Yeah. But we are starting with Manchester United. So, yes, Vish, he can't avoid the music forever.
No,
there was going to be a bad performance after he turned up to do a ramble, and it is this one. They've done it. They've finished bottom of their group. No more European football for them. Not even the poxy Europa League. They picked up 4 points, just one win, thanks to that Harry Maguire winner against FC Copenhagen. We'll never forget it. It's their worst ever total in a Champions League group stage. They've conceded 15 goals in the group, which is the most by a Premier League side ever. You know, not even Derby County have conceded that many goals
in the Champions League. No, yeah.
it's not too surprising, though, is it? Considering what happened on the weekend, I did say on Monday it would be a very kind of post-Ferguson era Manchester United thing to do, to manage to get a result here, or maybe against Liverpool, and just, are things that bad? Well, they are, because it followed up from a poor performance and a poor loss against Bournemouth. Now, I understand this is Bayern Munich, but my goodness, the atmosphere in the stadium, I mean, it wasn't... Everyone was totally resigned to the fact that they weren't going to win it.
Yeah.
It was so... The last 10 minutes, everyone was just like, waiting for the final whistle?
Part of that is due to the result not being in their hands, though, right?
No, you can't say
it. I don't know. I think
you've
got
to go for it. You have to win the game. And the crowd, it just seemed a bit apathetic.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they've got every reason to be, haven't they? I think the atmosphere was, it was almost, we were waiting for the result to play out, you know, not in United's favour, I suppose, whether that was in Copenhagen or in Manchester last night. But I think it was also just, you know, really quite telling that there's the lack of trust that United will get the job done is in part because there have been, even this season alone, there have been what you might term false dawns in terms of, that's quite a good result. This could come up, you know, even just
form team in the league not that long ago.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Manager and player of the month were theirs in November.
Yeah. But, you know, even last week, you know, beat Chelsea. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, well, you know, it's something, and then lose to Bournemouth. But, you know, Bayern didn't really get out of third gear, did they? No. And maybe third gear is being generous, actually, because I think there was a point where, you know, Thomas Tuchel says that, you know, he wants to, you know, they want to inflict more misery on Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Idiot.
Like, did he say that?
We do that to ourselves. There was an intimation there in, like, basically he was going to pick a strong team.
Right.
Because he wanted to, you know.
Fuck them.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But there was also, there was just really just a sense that United weren't going to do anything. And even, you know, the talk of, it's still 0-0 at half time. They've held it all together. Yeah, it was quite disjointed. They didn't really, apart from Luke Shaw's shot from range, it was quite, quite unthreatening, really, from Manchester United.
Yeah, there was a sense that when Kingsley Coman's goal came, sort of the timing of it, it felt like a vet euthanizing an animal to preserve its dignity. You know what I mean? It almost felt like a kindness at that point.
Yeah. And you can talk more to the crowd. Look, you can go home.
It's fine.
It's raining. Just go home.
It's had a good life, you know. Harry Maguire's gone off. This is it now. Mm. It'll only take itself off to die alone if we don't do something about it now, sort of thing. But I think the problem was,
if they go through, they might get beaten really bad. Yeah. If the animal goes off, it might get eaten by another bigger animal. So we were just in the interest of everybody.
Yeah, no, leave Anana alone. He's got to sting himself. That's how that happens. Yeah.
But I think you're right. It was the impetus wasn't there, was it? There is a sense that Bayern didn't really, you know, turn the screw as much as they needed to, because they kind of kept winning the ball back without even really having to try. United really struggled to string passes together for long periods.
You know, when you see a team against another team where the gulf is so big that they really panic when they have the ball.
Yeah.
Because they know that this might be my last touch in for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's what it was yesterday. And the gap between those, obviously Bayern are a brilliant side, but the gap shouldn't be that big.
But it shouldn't be that big. And it's ridiculous because they've got players with huge game experience in that Manchester United team. They have to win that game to have any chance. Now, it was only 1-0 in the other game. Even if word had got to them, FC Copenhagen were 1-0 up, it only took... I understand they won the game, so it would have been all futile. But the fact is that wouldn't have affected the players' performance. Because there was still a Europa League spot to play for, and you know, that would be, I know we sort of joke around, but if they would have wanted that rather than no European football, I would say.
Well, I mean, genuinely, as someone who said maybe 2 weeks ago that if United were out of Europe, fine, take that, focus on the league. they actually need Europa more than ever, because not least because when you consider how... you know, financially, teams are under the microscope with that kind of profit and sustainability thing, whether it's imposed by the league itself or UEFA. They've lost out on a big chunk of money there. And I know it might seem an inconvenience, as I consider it to be, Thursday to Sunday and all that. But this affects the rebuild, which obviously is necessary because it affects how much they can spend.
I know people will say...
Not that we've spent money wisely.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got the financial argument there. People will say, oh, you're better off out of it and so on. I actually disagree because it's another competition that, yes, another competition they might be embarrassed at, but actually more games for a big squad. You can keep players happy. You can even try and blood some of them in. You know, you can use it as a bit of a training ground or whatever. Or you could even actually go deep and have a good run and you know, perk everybody up a bit.
Yeah.
It is damning that they finished bottom of that group and not a particularly tough group. It's incredible for FC Copenhagen that they've gone through. And I'm pleased they did because they seem like quite a likeable side and they've given us some great entertainment from a neutral point of view, of course.
Damning is the right word, though. This Champions League campaign, the reality of it is, again, damning is the only word, really. When a damning reality of Ten Hag's record at United so far. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. There's been a lot of different challenges that have come up that most managers don't have to deal with a lot of different controversies and stuff. And a big clear out's been needed. A culture change has been needed. All these different things need to have been done. But when you look at this campaign in isolation, it shows that it is just not working well enough, not going in the direction it needs to go. Rasmus Højlund was sort of pretty anonymous last night as well. And how are you feeling about him at this stage, Rich? Because obviously he's young, he's moved to a different league where the expectations are higher, a club where the expectations are higher, and there's clearly some talent there, but you need him to be good now, and it just isn't happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's still very young. I also think that, you know, he arrived with a back issue that then manifested as a hamstring issue, and, you know, it's a lot to throw on a young kid's shoulders. You'd want someone like him coming in to a settled team so that, you know, you get your minutes here and there, but immediately they've had to throw him in and be like, right, by the way, here's the weight of all our expectations.
I don't think you can blame him at all.
Can you help us? No, exactly, yeah. I mean, I think it's all quite... it's all quite expected, but there was this almost arrogance of, yeah, but, you know, he'll wear the Manchester United shirt, he'll play at Old Trafford, and he'll just, naturally raise his games. And it doesn't quite work like that. I actually quite enjoyed this from a neutral point of view, but Min-jae Kim, just the difference in... It was like an adult and a child. He was just bullying him off the ball. Yeah. And obviously Kim's an outstanding defender, and it's like, you know, a bit of incredible recruitment from Bayern, but that was quite stark. And I actually felt a bit sorry for Højlund, actually, because he was just getting bullied by both their centre-backs. The other depressing thing about this was it was about maybe after Koeman scored, where I became more concerned about Harry Kane than Manchester United, and I thought Tuchel take him off because he's James Wan.
Forget about
Musiala. Forget about Sané. Look after him.
Yeah.
I thought that was disappointing.
Now you're seeing the big picture.
Sometimes you have to, don't you?
And is that because the Bayern fans, they weren't only just singing your shit and you know you are.
Is this a library? That was another one.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
I know, yeah. That was left field, I thought.
Well, because it was quite quiet. Trust me.
I know, but I thought they'd have a, you know, maybe their own version of that.
Yeah, but they sing it in English to take the piss, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. I suppose.
It's because it stings a bit more, isn't it? And they sing in three lines. Yeah, and that affects all of us.
Well, that's, I think that's maybe why.
So some of your shit has splattered onto us there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think you started thinking about Harry Kane because maybe when they were singing It's Coming Home, you thought, oh, could you just... I know we're all excited about next summer, but could you just imagine them beating us and singing that in our silly faces? Yeah, but old Harry stands in between us and that embarrassment. So, we need to wrap him up in all of the cotton wool ahead of that. But, yeah, so Manchester United, they're out. Bayern, of course, we're already through. And FC Copenhagen joined them. Good luck to that Danish side. Yeah.
Could I say one more thing about the Manchester United thing?
Do you have to?
Yeah, but just to get out of my system, because I think I'm on Monday show and I don't want to repeat myself after the Liverpool game.
Okay.
But essentially, now, like, you look at it, this Manchester United season is over because they're unlikely to get fourth. Their best chance of the Champions League was actually the Europa League, as in, you know, qualifying the Champions League was actually the Europa League. And you think about how much of last season's graph was geared towards getting back into the competition, not just as a sign of progression, but almost as like a recognisable return to, like, oh, this is where you're supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to have the nice little Champions League badge on your arm. So they've dropped out of Europe entirely. And there's almost part of me that thinks, like, actually, you know what? Maybe other pockets of Europe don't need to see this iteration of Manchester United. Because actually, the only thing that's sustained since Sir Alex Ferguson left, really and truly, has been the marketing brand.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the most damning thing you could say about, and it's obviously not just this team, it's been a build-up to it, but this team are actually damaging the brand of Manchester United. When you consider that that is the most facile, the most crudest of what Manchester United is how they can make money outside of football. Even that feels like it's being scratched away.
Yeah, I love how you said their season's over. They're 6 points off the Champions League spots in
the
Premier
League. But they're not going to get it, are they?
After 16 games.
Yeah, but they're not. You can't have watched them over this season so far.
But to me, this
and
is,
see areas where they can actively improve, where they will improve. And also, just look at the teams around them.
This just reminds me of Arsenal a number of seasons ago, as we've already alluded to with that message Jim sent you, that it was, you're looking at the badge rather than the player in the shirt.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the player there. They're always going to go to the big club. But to suddenly go, right, we'll sign 5, 6, 7 players or whatever, a lot of them got potential. In fact, that one actually, is, you could argue, is the finished article. They'll sort it out. Which is why this argument of, well, you can't sack the manager. You can sack the manager. And I know that I understand the takeover talk and all the rest of it, but Arsenal was still a bit crap until Arteta took over. It was a long-term approach. It was literally Arteta has stopped this and made them the force that they are now. They've yet to win. They did win the FA Cup. Sorry, of course.
But that was during the rebuild, really.
Yeah, but that's what it's done. It's taken that. Obviously, there's one or two other appointments and so on, but that's what it is. This idea that Ten Hag is completely safe. Yes, we'll see what the takeover produces. And I understand if you've got nobody lined up, but you should always have something.
Yeah. I think the safety element is more that there's currently no one there with the authority to sack him.
So I understand.
So once that takeover happens, you never know. It might actually be similar to what Ten Hag did with Ronaldo in...
Possibly.
They made an obvious decision and got a lot of credit for it.
Yeah.
That might end up being Jim Ratcliffe's moment.
Bring Solskjaer back. At least there was a bit of consistency with the inconsistency.
It was
a little bit
fun.
It was more fun.
Why am I yearning after him?
That's what it does to you. That's what Manchester United post-Ferguson does to you. Look, he won his trophy. They all win a trophy, apart from Solskjaer. He got to the final. Mourinho, Van Gaal... Moyes never won a trophy, did he? Some of them win trophies, some of them don't.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Although it seems to be all shit at the moment. Let's go to Turkey. The president of Ankara Gucu punched a referee after his side drew 1-1 with Rizespor Emrehan, which I'm sure you all saw. It was huge news, of course, around the world. Again, both teams had a man sent off in. And Turkey has now postponed all football in response to this incident. The referee needed hospital treatment. And again, I'm sure everybody is familiar with the story. If you didn't see it, though, and you've not heard about this, then, as we say, he got punched. And then he was kicked a fair few times on the floor.
Yeah.
So it was a proper old assault. It was really bad.
It was a crime, wasn't it? And it's being treated as
such. It was a crime.
Such.
But, Jim, should we give the chairman, or the president, rather, a little bit of grace? Because he said, my aim was to react verbally to the referee and spit in his face.
So that's all he was going to do?
Yeah, he was only going to spit in his face.
That's still an assault.
Mm.
Still a crime, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, if you spit at someone, it's considered a proper assault because who knows what's in your spit?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
he went on to say, the slap I gave would not cause a fracture. After my slap, the referee threw himself on the ground and immediately I was removed from the scene because I have a heart condition.
It is just...
No wonder you've got a heart condition if you get so worked up, you dickhead. Up.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've got a cunt condition as well.
Absolutely. We see so many people in football and actually really society at large, some of whom we won't give airtime to now, who essentially simply just have no personal integrity at all. Like no dignity left in their essences at all.
Yep, yep.
Imagine claiming that after that incident. This man should be absolutely ashamed of himself. I mean, he has resigned in shame and he should never work in football again. Mm. I mean, the leagues have all been shut down in Turkey because of this idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely reprehensible.
I love the fact that, as you say, he thinks it's okay. I was going to spit. And when I slapped him, it wasn't that bad. It's like, no, there we go. The fact is that you're the president of the club. And the moment you walk down from your seat and go, right, I'm going to have a word with him, you've done for. Mm-hmm. You've already, that's awful behaviour.
Is it related to the discourse that we keep hearing at the moment? The referees are under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of aggression towards them. Is this an inevitable sort of consequence of that?
I don't necessarily think it's a direct result of that. But I do think it's quite an important moment because people have spoken of a situation like this occurring before. And we know, and we have testimony from referees where it's happened at grassroots level. I think to see it on film is actually quite jarring, especially in a match of that scale. And then to have provoked this reaction. And the reaction is broadly encouraging, I suppose, in terms of it's getting people to talk about it. The leagues have been shut down.
I think the
proper
Turkish
action has been has
Football
been
Association's
taken.
Response has been pretty good and swift. And
because ultimately, like, why would you put yourself through this?
Shocking. Anyway, gentlemen, we move on to Arsenal's group in the Champions League. PSV 1, Arsenal 1. A nice leisurely time with this one, Jim.
Well, you'd think so, Marcus, but the discourse around this on Arsenal Twitter, or X as it's now known, if anyone's missed that, is that it's a disgrace that the young players didn't get any minutes.
That's right.
A lot of people are very, very angry about that.
I saw that. That was really interesting.
Yeah, Ethan Enwenary, Lino Sousa and Ruel Walters, who are between 16 and 18, were on the bench. Everyone's very excited to see some young players in what is essentially a dead rubber. But interestingly, these games are worth £2.5 million if you win them, or around that total.
That used to be a big signing back in the day.
Exactly, it did, didn't it? That's teams, they want to win these big rubbers because you got to maximise the revenues from the
Champions
League.
Did you call them big rubbers or dead rubbers?
I did call them big rubbers, didn't I? Well, I suppose it is a big rubber.
If you put that price tag on it.
If you've got that price tag on it, yeah. So,
an absolute Trojan of a game, yeah.
But I think actually as well, the real reason that Arteta put out quite a strong side, he did rest players, but Saliba and Gabriel played. A lot of people are a little bit worried about that, is that actually Saliba and Gabriel haven't really played in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So they need experience of this. And the away games are so different from the home games. And Arsenal's group has been a very stark example of that. It's a very Europa League-y group. Everyone said that. Sevilla were terrible as well. Absolutely awful. We'll come on to them in a minute. But I think it would be maybe a little bit unwise to assume that they're going to be used to that after having two away games, one of which they lost as well. It was a useful exercise, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the idea that you suddenly play, an incredibly young side. You know, I think Man City did that, didn't they? Was it away to Chelsea in the League Cup or something a number of seasons ago? And you actually come away thinking, I don't know if anybody's kind of learned much from that. I think it's great.
Depends on the opponent, doesn't it? If you're playing a lower league team, fair enough.
Yeah, of course. But as you say, playing a decent opponent, in PSV. I mean, PSV are into the knockouts of the Champions League.
Yeah, we're the only team who've beaten them this season.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if it would be the wise. Yeah, okay, maybe a sub appearance or something like that. But as you said, there's a bit of money at stake. But also, I think there is an argument to say that having a bit of continuity with the side and also massive winning thing. and you've Arsenal got a big squad. And I mean, it was good to see Mohamed Elneny in there as well.
Yeah, although he went off with what looks like it might be a hamstring injury, which is a shame.
Which is a great shame because he's been out for a while and I know he's played, two, maybe three times this season. Yeah. So,
He tested Declan Rice as a centre-back as well, but Saliba came off. So that's something clearly he's looking at because, injuries are starting to possibly be a problem coming into a busy Christmas period. So it's been useful and valuable. I actually don't really understand why Jakub Kivior's goal was disallowed as well, because Gabriel was offside, Kivior wasn't. I think the argument is that Gabriel's sort of interfering with play by being offside, but I'm looking at what actually happened in it, I'm not sure he was, but
all right,
doesn't really matter, does
don't,
it now?
Don't get too angry with all the right, referees. All right, just I'll calm just,
all
down.
Right, all right.
Mikel Arteta said at full time, "This chapter of the competition is done and we've done really well."
I agree. And actually, it's good because I think, you know, the group helped. It was Europa League-y. But for Arsenal's first Champions League campaign in a long time could have been a lot tougher. Mm. And there was never really any sense of jeopardy. They started really well. The Lons game, you know, obviously that was a little bit of a slip up where you thought, this could get a bit hairy, but we're never really that worried. And they've adapted really, really well to it. So, you know, I'm excited to see who we get.
Yeah, elsewhere in the group, Sevilla lost 2-1.
So they're out of the Europa League.
Yep, they're out of Europe completely.
Definitely.
They joined Manchester United in being out of everything.
Can you say that, Vish, as if, and I really hope this happens, that they just turn up at a game?
Yeah.
They just turn up at someone's game, elbow the away team out.
Yeah, the away team.
Obviously led by Sergio Ramos.
It'd be like, no, it's the Europa League.
And so we're the holders.
I think the away side would go, that does make sense.
Yeah. Surely the holders can defend their title.
We've got the wrong end of the stick here, but
or maybe their passes still work. From we've got a Europa League black card. This should still work.
Straight to the final.
Yeah,
maybe. Well, but in reality, of course, if that doesn't happen, which we assume it won't at the time of recording, they're not going to win it because they're not in it. So there'll be a lot of teams that are in the Europa League thinking, "Thank goodness for that." Mm. But they were close, though. I mean, they needed to win the game. They went 1-0 down, and of course they get a penalty, which Ramos had his penalty saved, but it was rightly pulled back because the keeper was about a yard off his line. And then Ramos, you're thinking, where's he going to put it? And he does a Panenka, like a Zidane World Cup final Panenka. It nearly kisses the bar on its way in. It was just it was delicious.
Glorious.
And then pushing for the winner, they got done on the break, so they're out. It's very strange, isn't it?
I mean, Ramos was also booked because when trying to get the ball back off the keeper after scoring the Panenka, he kicked him. So
I think that's slightly misleading though.
Imagine if you tried to Panenka the keeper.
I think he kicks the ball. I thought Ramos could. Do you know what was funny about that booking though is when Ramos does that and he's like, "Ref, no, I'm just kicking the ball." When the ref shows in the yellow, he looks relieved and goes, "Oh yeah, that's fine," and runs back.
Got loads of those.
Yeah, I thought I was going to see the other one. Oh dear.
Do you think
me.
He collects his cards like caps? He's probably got a room somewhere where they're all framed.
He would need a room.
He would.
Yeah. He had an extension built for it. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I read something, some quote from the worst manager in the history of the Premier League, Frank de Boer, 7 matches, 7 defeats, 0 goals, where he was saying that it's not good for Marcus Rashford to have a coach like me. If he was coached by Frank, he would learn how to lose, because he lost every game.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. A little news update here. Frank de Boer has been sacked as Al Jazeera manager in the UAE after 13 games in charge. Poor old Frank.
We've got more games, though.
Right, Jim. Is that what you'd say to him? Well, cheer up, Frank. It wasn't just the 7.
I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
A fine player. And did pretty well as Ajax manager, if I remember. And now look at him.
Well, that's how he got the Palace job, yeah.
Yeah. Was he into manager? Oh, anyway, we don't know.
Like little mini Frank Rijkaard.
Yeah,
career wise.
Yeah, he needs his Barcelona. Yeah. Oh, yeah, put him in charge of Barcelona. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I thought you lads had money. You were huge when I was playing.
Now, everybody, a reminder that every Wednesday we release an extra long edition of The Ramble exclusively for our Patreon subscribers. On today's Ramble Uncut, we will be reading an email from our listener, Elliot, who tells us about the time that Kevin Keegan was driven round the German racecourse Nürburgring. What could possibly go wrong? To listen to today's Ramble Uncut, head to patreon.com/footballramble and become a friend of The Ramble. Trust me, you do not want to miss it. Right, gentlemen, tonight, Keggy's old team Newcastle United face AC Milan at 8 p.m. at St James's Park. A crucial match for Newcastle in their Champions League campaign. To qualify for the last 16, they must beat Milan. They have to do it. And hope PSG do not beat Borussia Dortmund. It's a big night, Jim.
I think they've got a chance here, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I think...
Is that a Jim Campbell hot take?
It is a hot take, yeah. I think statistically, it is absolutely possible for those two things to happen. Okay. So you heard it here first, possibly.
We'll see what happens then. No,
what I mean by that, and why I say that with such confidence, is I think that Dortmund obviously are hosting PSG, so... Dortmund's going to Dortmund. They're not just going to roll over, are they? As good as PSG are, and they'll want to win the group. But I think, you know, AC Milan are the team you would want at home in the last game. Mm-hmm. Newcastle have been running on empty a little bit, but I think they've got it in them to raise themselves for this occasion.
Yeah.
So they, as Man United did last night, they've got to win this, haven't they? You can't think about what's happening elsewhere.
Of course, Newcastle will be guaranteed a Europa League spot if they draw the game,
right?
Because that's. It would, you know, because Milan would need to win to leapfrog them there. It's an intriguing one. I think that the crowd will play their part. You know, obviously, I've been lucky enough to witness that this season. And it is about, you know, as you say, they've been running on fumes. Can they just one last push, if you see what I mean, with regards to this? Because Champions League then will return in the new year. So... fewer games, and a little bit less travelling, and the staggered, you know, fixtures in January are coming, where in theory they should get a little bit more of a break in time. You know, players coming back from injury. This is a huge one tonight. I mean, Dan Burns expected to be on the bench after returning from injury, but on the bench. So again, that's a handy player to have there.
I don't think Dan Burn is really, when you see how Livramento's filled in at left back for him.
But if Livramento gets injured or something, I'm just saying another recognised name on the bench.
I think it's more the two people who came on in the Spurs game.
Yeah.
Sure,
but that's not the point I want to get bogged down in. The point is that there's one or two coming back, but with this, it's can you just play into the raw emotion of it? We've seen, you know, a poor performance against Everton, poor performance against Spurs. And I wonder if it'll bite Howe on the arse a bit if he, you know, didn't rest a few players. You know, he thought, right, let's keep on going. I know they've got Premier League matches are crucial because they're still wanting to get into the top four and so on. Tonight, I just think you have to do the old rallying cry, you know, beat your chest, get the crowd going and just try and let the whole thing drag you through.
Yeah.
Because yes, as you say, of all the sides you'd want to play at home, it would be Milan. I think
despite the Olivier Giroud header,
yeah,
which is very, very possible, isn't it?
As in they've got a guaranteed goal through.
Well,
that.
it feels very possible, doesn't it?
I can see him.
I could just cash that in at any time.
Yeah, like a dream killing header.
Beware of that. I would say, but I think the other game it is all to play for. Dortmund will want to beat PSG. You think about the how different those two clubs are. The Dortmund fans would absolutely love it. You know, talk about the atmosphere affecting games and so on. We know about the stadium there. I just wonder at the end of this, will Howe go, I maybe could have rested some players and focused on this one. But clearly, he wants to focus on it all and the Premier League as well.
It was kind of out of his hands, though, really, given the scale of their injuries. And I think he did, to be honest, when they were 3-0 down at Spurs, after an hour, he brought off Isak and Almiron, and he brought on Wilson and Longstaff. So he gave those 2 minutes. He preserved, you know, certainly Isak and Isak, who looked knackered because of the amount he's had to play, and also Almiron, who just runs. I think there has been.
Maybe I'm being a bit harsh, and I appreciate he can't just suddenly promote the whole academy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because that would just be a bit
like
silly.
Lewis Miley. The really interesting thing about Lewis Miley is obviously he looks very accomplished. He's very talented. Did you know about him before he had to? You know, he got thrust into midfield. I think there's, you know, unless you're really au fait with Newcastle academy, and as Pete's mentioned before on the show, it's not exactly an academy that's been producing a lot of talent regularly.
Why is he not stuck with Dubravka on the wing, is what I'm saying?
Well, I mean that's an interesting one as well, because Dubravka faces a late fitness test for today, so we might see Karius in his first Champions League game since that final.
Bloody hell, that would be something, wouldn't it? Well, we shall have to wait and see if he makes the cut. But it's a huge... I mean, this is... like everyone's tuning into that game. I reckon there's Manchester City fans all tune into that game. Of course, they're away to Red Star Belgrade or Zvezda. Huge one at St James's Park. By the way, on the talk of Newcastle goalkeepers, have you seen that Alan Pardew has recommended that Newcastle sign David De Gea?
See, I hate that I don't think that's the worst shout.
It's not the worst shout.
No.
He's also not the first person to make that shout.
No.
Great. That's all I wanted. That's all I needed. That makes me feel a lot better.
There's loads of people who have been saying it. I just picked at random Alan Pardew, Jim.
Yeah. De Gea has been really weird lately, isn't it? He keeps posting cryptic one emoji tweets on X whenever something silly happens to Man United, which is more frequently than I imagine you would like, Bish.
He wants to go back to Man. He wants another contract there. It's not going to happen.
Is that what you're concluding from from a single emoji of a little ice cold man?
Yeah, I think I am. That's what I'm reading into it.
He wants to go back to the cold.
Yeah.
He wants to go back to Manchester.
It's a fine place. Right then, Red Star Belgrade versus Manchester City tonight. Pep Guardiola was preparing for this by meeting up with the chess world champion Magnus Carlsen to discuss tactics and review some of their best moves. That is the kind of content that we expected to receive at some point.
Yeah, it's from City's own state channel, isn't it?
Oh, Jim. Carlsen once accused another chess player, Hans Niemann, of cheating using vibrating anal beads.
Do you remember this scandal?
It took me a while to remember it, but then I thought, oh, yes. It's seldom.
Can't really Google it, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
Dangerous.
Yeah, I do remember something about this a little while ago. Guardiola has yet to accuse Mikel Arteta of something like that, although I don't know how that would help him.
I think it's more a Mourinho accusation, isn't it?
What do you think?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mourinho will be absolutely gutted he's not thought of that first. He won't plagiarise it, but he'll be thinking, oh, God, that is brilliant.
Yeah, he will be gutted because for Mourinho to say that about another manager, it's the embarrassment of it. Mm-hmm. And then people, and of course... Well, no smoke without fire. No, there's nothing in this. Uh-huh. I don't do that. Well, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit Richard Gere, isn't it? And listeners of a certain age will get that reference. And if you're too young, we don't need to explain it.
Erling Haaland is expected to miss the match due to injury. Now, the extent of Haaland's injury is not known yet. But his dad, girlfriend and brother have all taken him out of their fantasy Premier League teams.
I do love when information leaks like this. Mm.
We are a pathetic industry, aren't we? Uh-huh.
Really childish.
Yeah.
This is what it is. We're all essentially little nerds, just gleaning information from all the little nerd places that we can.
Oh, dear. Well, of course, Peter and Vish will be doing a Ramble React after the big two games tonight involving the English side. So Ramble React will be in your ears. Looking forward to that, Vishy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tonight, of course, make the most of it, big boy, because tonight will be the final round of games in the Champions League first round format as we know it.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever, well, as you would say.
Hopefully not, Jim, because hopefully it comes back, because we think the new idea will be crap.
Do you think there's a chance of that? I imagine that once this change has been implemented, not just for the Champions League, by the way, for the Europa League and the Conference League as well, so more games for everyone, everywhere, all the time.
Yeah, well, we should say, so from next season, the Champions League opening round will consist of a 36-team league, but each team only plays 8 games. So the 36 teams will be in 4 pots of 9. Pot 1 will have the Champions League holders and then the 8 clubs with the best coefficients. The champions of top domestic leagues and Europa League title holders will no longer be prioritised in pot 1. Pots 2, 3 and 4 are arranged on club coefficient. And each club will be drawn to play 2 teams from each pot, one home and away. So 2 teams from pot 1, 2 from 2, 2 from 3, 2 from 4.
Broadly different groups, but everyone's in the same league.
Yeah. And in pot 1, you will play teams other, you know, the top seeded teams. Because in the current Champions League format, you obviously don't do that if you're a seeded side. Like in the Euros and the World Cup, you will avoid other seeded sides, whereas that won't be the case here. And also, as a general rule, clubs from the same countries will not be drawn against each other. Although, if you have 4 teams or maybe even a 5th team from a particular
which
country,
can now happen, can't it, because of various coefficient things?
That's right. Then, to avoid mayhem, there will be the odd rare occasion where teams from the same country could be in the same league. I'm already confused.
So in the terms of qualifying from that league, the top 8 go through, then the 16 below that go into a playoff to determine who makes up the other half of the last 16, and then it's kind of back to how it was, right? Still two-legged?
Yeah, so as you say, top 8 teams go through, then teams 9 to 24, they play a two-legged playoff round. So not just a two-legged playoff round, they love the two legs, and yes, the winners of that last 16, the teams that didn't, so what it would be 25th to 36th, they are finished. There's no dropping down to the Europa League.
Yeah, the UEFA is saying, so you're really trailblazers there, Fish. UEFA is saying it's to get rid of dead rubbers.
Indeed.
So you got a big chunk of teams there that are very early on going to understand they don't really have much chance of qualifying at all. Yeah. So I am sceptical about this idea that there will be fewer dead rubbers, but this is sort of the biggest change to football that I can remember. We've never seen a tournament structured like this. So maybe it will be brilliant and the boffins at UEFA have come up with something really, really good. We simply don't know. But I say this to anyone who from UEFA who might be listening. You've changed a lot here. You've changed the format massively, a format that we all like and have enjoyed for a long, long time. It's not the Super League to a degree. Mm. You've changed so much. If you change the music, I'm out.
Are you done?
You leave the music where it is.
Yeah, I think so. They'll change it to a dance version, Vish, or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what they're like? That's what they'll do, and then we're all doomed, quite frankly. This is crazy, this happened in the Europa League and the Europa Conference League.
The Conference League.
Yeah. I am incredibly sceptical of this. I know what you mean. It's a bit like, no, just give it a chance. It's a bit like someone poking feces into the pie. Yeah, but you haven't tried it yet. Just give it a go. Yeah, but come
is it
on.
Like that?
Yeah, I
Jim's
think
always
it is.
Trying to get you to eat shit, isn't he? You hiding your food.
You over are.
What Jim said before about the Super League without being the Super League, like the fact that pot one, for example, you play 2 teams from your own pot, which for pot 1 and 2 will be big games. They just want more big games, more headline acts on a on a midweek. I personally think it'll be a bit rubbish, and you know, you're probably moving away from Copenhagen type stories, aren't you?
You are. And also, the group stage will now finish at the end of January.
I mean, essentially, your club competing in two leagues is going to give you fatigue, right?
Oh my God. I mean, this is it. Like, just, it's just, it's, we like football, more of it, please.
Yeah.
And it's that there is a saturation point. And we're talking about, you know, Newcastle. You know, it's a huge game tonight, St James's Park. Now, I know they've had a lot of injuries and so on. So it's perhaps maybe an unfair example to use. But injuries can happen. You've only got a certain amount of squad places. And also with FFP, which I think broadly is a good thing, you can't just kind of spend and spend and spend. So you're saying that we're going to have more games, you more travel as well, et cetera, et cetera. I think
I feel for students as well, and for people sort of in their early 20s who have the vast, wide open plains of a weekend in front of them where you can do whatever you want. And what you want to do is play a single Champions League campaign with your mates in a day. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
It would take too long.
I know, Jim. I think you've
they've not thought of them.
Really got to the heart of the issue there. Speaking of great things that football governing bodies have come up with, though, did you see that the Club World Cup kicked off last night? Hey, more football! Always! Yeah, Al Ittihad beat Auckland City 3-0.
Oh, that's a shame. Auckland's nice.
I know. With goals from Romarinho, N'Golo Kante and Karim Benzema.
So what? So two, you know, high-profile players and a regen.
Yeah. Romarinho has nothing to do with the great Romario, by the way.
He does have a son called Romarinho, who is a footballer, but this is a
not
different
him,
one, right?
It's not him. But speaking of Romario, did you see that clip of him playing five-a-side the other day? He's 57.
And he just is just balling. There's no other word for it. It's just different. Phenomenal.
You do check that out.
He has not lost it.
Certainly not. Get him in the Champions League next
2020.
Season.
What?
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut and, of course, that story about Kevin Keegan. If you're not a Patron subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Also, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vish.
Cool.
Thank you, everybody. Don't forget Ramble React. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.